Okay, well, welcome to last day. Hopefully, we'll pick up on from where we went last night. Remember when I said at the beginning that we're going to move forward from engaging God here to engaging God there to then coming into more of, well, what is this leading us into in terms of his government and his authority as sons, not just the relationship? So, we're going to look a little bit more on that. But in the beginning, God. Now, that's a really good place to start for all of us to connect with God in who he was, is, and always will be in the beginning. And that's how everything I believe God wants to bring us back to that, because that's where we were in his heart. That's where we were a thought, where we were a desire, and where he looked at us and he drew us into that place of desire. There was perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit, totally relating to one another without any need for anything else. But love has to be giving, otherwise it isn't love. Just being in one without actually giving that out is not really a full expression of love. So God really, to be love, had to create us, because otherwise there would be nothing to love. And his love was not just selfish. It was to be giving. So God always had us in his heart and in his desire. So love, joy, and peace were perfectly expressed in that relationship. And when we come into that relationship, we start to reconnect. And that's transformed my understanding and outworking of love. Because love is different when you see the purity of it, and then it starts to begin to change and outwork. So in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God." So we know that's referring to Jesus. But the word with, and if you look at the word in Greek, it actually means face to face. You know, because we tend to think, well, I'm with somebody, and well, we're just with each other. Face to face is a completely different dynamic, because you're looking into someone's face, you're looking into their eyes, you're looking into their expression, you're picking up their emotions. You're a whole different thing. I'm walking alongside something. I don't know what they're looking like, what they're thinking, but when you look into someone's face and into their eyes, you're going to derive something completely different. So Jesus was face to face. The Holy Spirit, the Father, they are not outward looking. They're looking in each other. And then when they invite us into that place of relationship, we're looking at them, they're looking at us, and we're in this dance, because they're not stationary either. The whole thing of love is that it's in motion, it's active, it's alive, it's living. So they're not just sort of there staring at each other for eternity. There's life in it. And we're invited into that life. In the Mirror Bible, it says this: to go back to the very beginning is to find where the Word already present there, face to face with God. The Word is I am. God's eloquence echoes and concludes in Him. The Word equals God. And we're invited into that amazing place of the dance of God. In Acts 3:19, I think if I got the whole passage there, it says this: therefore repent and return, so that the sins might be wiped away. Now that is the Adam's choice to go his wrong way. It's not the things we do wrong. That's just the consequence. It's our identity. So when we agree with God about who we are, we're returning to our original identity. That's what repentance really means. An agreement of mind with God, because it's the same thing. It's with God and our mind agreeing with God's mind about us. When we come into that place, we have to return. It's not like, well, we'll repent and then suddenly we'll find ourselves going back somewhere. If we're actually truly in agreement with the mind of God, we will be in a different place. We'll have returned to God's original thought and intention about us. And that will change our identity and restore it. So that old way of being, DIY, do it yourself, is wiped away. Because we're returned into the place of identity and relationship, and knowing the mind of God and knowing his thoughts and knowing the vast sum of his thoughts about us and having that intimacy of a relationship, we will be refreshed. Because in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, we have probably taken that as, well, when we're in worship services and the presence of the Lord comes, we feel refreshed. And there's an aspect to that, which is great. But that's not really what this is talking about. This is talking about having intimacy with the presence of the Lord. Being intimate with him face to face. So it's coming back to the place where we are seeing him and seeing us in him. So we're beholding him and we are being transformed into the image that we're seeing as he shares with us who he always created us to be. So we need those times of face-to-face presence of the Lord, and we will be refreshed. And the word refreshed goes way beyond having a nice cup of cool water or something. It's actually referring to being able to catch your breath again, having restored breath, restored life. And when Adam was created, what did God do? Breathe into him, and he became a living being, a living soul. God wants to restore that so he can breathe into us again the words and truth and essence of who we are. Because Adam got all of his life from the Father's breath. Now, I would suggest we've probably been breathing in atmospheres that are not that. So God wants to bring us back to that. And then he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. So right from the very beginning, God has been looking to bring us back to the place where we would be restored and he could breathe back into us. So these times of refreshing comes. That word literally refreshing actually means breathe easily again, hence refreshing, cooling, reviving with fresh air, a recovery of breath, a refreshing. Now that has a totally different connotation when you actually look at what it really means. So God wants to breathe. How is he going to breathe into us? Not if we're turned away from him. Not if we're facing our own direction and looking to do our own thing. We've got to be back with him face to face. Which is why he's calling us back to that place of intimacy within his heart, within eternity, which we'll go into in the next session. So Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. So let's receive that again. And then when Jesus was with his disciples after the resurrection, in fact, on the day of resurrection, what did he do? John 20:22. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So receive your life back again. Because now you're alive in me and you're born from above in a totally new restored relationship. You're not coming to me through any legal law-based system. This is face-to-face intimacy. This is fatherhood and sonship restored. So I'm going to breathe back into you your restored sonship. Who you were always intended to be. And if you keep breathing from this source, you're going to be refreshed continually and you're going to continually know who you are. But as soon as you turn away to another source, you're going to be breathing in air which is not going to refresh you and give you life. So we've got to keep face to face from that place and receive that from him. So restored relationship, identity, and conditions for face-to-face refreshing are in the presence of the Lord. We need to have that intimacy of his presence. And, you know, yes, it's great when we come and we do things corporately and we can sense his presence here because he comes and meets when we meet. Where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. But we don't need a gathering for this to be true. This is our personal face-to-face relationship, which isn't requiring a corporate element to it. When we then come together corporately, we're bringing all our face-to-face relationships and multiplying it in an atmosphere exponentially filled with his presence. Because when we're breathing out, what are we breathing out? The same refreshing presence of God to each other. which is why we need to breathe to each other. What we've received, freely you've received, freely give. I'm not going to breathe in and hold my breath and keep it to myself until all the oxygen is expended. I've got to breathe out. So the same with when we encounter God and we encounter him face to face, it's always going to be expressed otherly outwards to others. Otherwise, it's again selfish. But we need to receive it and breathe in before we can breathe out. And once we've breathed out, we've got to breathe back in again. Otherwise, we've got nothing to breathe out with. So it's a continued ongoing breath of life. And actually, if you think of the name of God, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, that actually sounds like the breathing in, breathing out process. It's like you breathe in and you breathe out, and it's Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And then you're back breathing in and breathing out. Because actually we're receiving the name of God in relation to our name, because we're in the name of God, his children, in his likeness, made after him. So restored walking relationship with him, where we're walking with him, is not just that, well, he's alongside working. There is this, we have to be face to face for that refreshing presence to come. So there's a restoration of what was in the beginning of the earth, because this is what was Adam. So Adam was able to walk in the realms of the Father, and the Father walked in the realms of Adam. So they had this overlapping relationship. So there's much more for us to find that we need to be restored back to. And of course, God never wanted it to be what Adam had, but what would have Adam had if he hadn't have walked his own way? That, what we talked about last night, those 9 steps of ascension to maturity of sonship, in where we carry and release the creativity of the name of God into a whole different realm. So let's just spend a few minutes engaging with the Father face to face. So let him embrace you and let him breathe into you. So again, encourage you to relax. Don't try and make something happen. Just allow him to engage you. Now, what I want you to do is not ask God to come here, but to engage him in your spirit. So that first love place where you've invited him in to you, where he can, in that place in your spirit, breathe life back in again. So just begin to just think about this and think about the Father's presence and the wind of his presence and the breath of his presence, and just let being face to face with him begin to form in your imagination, and then just engage with that area of first love. If you've not opened your first love gate today, then just choose to open that door. Invite the Father's presence and just let him face to face begin to breathe his breath into you. And breathe it in. And as he's breathing into you, he's breathing words of life, living words. He's breathing into you your identity. He's breathing into you sonship. He's releasing into you in his very breath the vast sum of his thoughts about you, calling you to your original identity of face-to-face intimacy with him. So just let him breathe it in. Just receive it. Be refreshed. So God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So just receive his image and be restored to his likeness. And God bless them. So let God bless you with his life, with his empowerment to prosper and to succeed. And God said, be fruitful. Receive the capacity to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill your spheres of government, to subdue and rule over all that you've been given in sonship. Just let that empowerment be breathed in you through his refreshing presence and his very living words breathed into your whole physical being, soul, and spirit. And I would encourage you to, every day when you open your first love gate, just let him breathe into you all the life that you need for that day. And then you can breathe out and breathe in the rest of the day, being conscious of the face-to-face relationship that you have. You're not separated from him. You can be consciously aware of his presence, and continually aware that you're drawing from him and releasing that out. You're not giving away your own strength. You're receiving and giving in that way. Francois Dutoit, who wrote the Mirror Bible, says this: Jesus did not do what he did to reconcile God with us. This is Father, Son, and Spirit clothed in human skin, lovingly and willingly going to the gruesome extreme of a ridiculously unfair trial by a human court, the scandalous execution of innocent life, in order to persuade us most convincingly of the priceless esteem of us, their priceless esteem of us. See, we tend to think that God looks at us and sees us in a way that he might not be very happy about. He doesn't. He's seeing us and he has priceless esteem. And their relentless love for us, and to forever rescue our minds from every definition of unworthiness and condemnation, every sense of separation. In the broken, bleeding body of Jesus, the incarnate engineer of the universe willingly dies humanity's death at the hands of his own creation, in order to redeem our minds from the plague of sin consciousness that left us distant and indifferent for ages and generations, stuck in the wilderness of our self-help, religious, and survival programs. That's what the cross was about, restoring us to face-to-face intimacy so that we would value ourselves the way God values us. That we would know. See, self-esteem and self-worth are what we get from doing things ourselves. Esteem and worth and value come from him. So we see ourselves and feel and know how valuable we are to him. And then we'll realize how valuable we are to the creation that he's given us responsibility for. So from the beginning, everything was about engaging God with relationship. God and Adam walked together in perfect fellowship. When Adam messed up, what did God say? Where are you? He wanted them to come back to him. Obviously, that didn't work out. So Adam fell from the realm where he could walk with God in Eden, in God's heavenly garden. By his choice, he could have accessed, as we said, the fiery way to the tree of life, but he chose to do his own thing. So God had to come to earth himself, as Jesus, the Son of Man, representing us to restore that walking relationship, that fellowship, that face-to-face innocence and esteem and value and worth that he wants us to have. So in that relationship, God is transforming us into his image. Now, his image is represented in the Bible as some weird stuff. You know, it's like an Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, they describe a description of what we think of the four living creatures and the cherubim or different things. But God wants us to engage the four aspects of his face. Not just the one aspect, but breathing into us four aspects that carry with those aspects different ways of our being in his image. So in Ezekiel 1:5, it says this, within it, and this is obviously a description of his vision, were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. This wasn't the four living creatures that are before the throne, who do not have human form. They have one face of lion, ox, eagle, man, and they're representative with of that figure. They're not human form. Here is a description of the human form of somebody who's transformed by the face of God to carry four faces. So this is talking about the vision of us. And as for the form of their faces, each one had the face of a man. All four had the face of the lion on the right and the face of the bull on the left, and on the four had the face of the eagle. So this was a human form that had a four-dimensional faces of lion, ox, eagle, man, as a human form. Not a created living being somewhere in heaven, but a human form. And God wants to see that when we are restored to his image and who he created us to be, it carries the fullness of the faces of God. So the lion, the ox, and the eagle represent Father, Son, and Spirit, or Jesus, Father, Spirit, and we're included in that. So we're included in this relationship that God has taken on and created us to reflect his fullness as man. So the four aspects of his government are the things that are expressed through Jesus and the Father and the Spirit and man. So there isn't just the nine stones, as I was talking about last night, but there are 12 stones. So now we're included in the fullness of his government. He's given us the authority to govern the universe with him in perfect face-to-face relationship, in which those faces are sort of continually living and active in that way. Revelation 5:6 is a description of the four creatures, the four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. First creature was like a lion, second creature like an ox, third creature had the face of a man, the fourth creature was like a flying eagle, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy." So they're expressing Father, Son, and Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. I'm expressing the Father. I'm expressing the Spirit. I'm expressing the Son. Is the Lord God Almighty who was? So this is engaging in his eternal nature, who is in heaven now and who is to come through us into this realm so that what we do here will align with what was. So we're part of this whole process and God wants us to be brought into that alignment. So the four living creatures represent each of the four governmental faces of God before the throne, which represents government. Holy, 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 the nature of God, his whole purpose. But the four creatures with four faces represent us. So the three faces of the Father, Son, and Spirit with the four face of man in a priestly agreement to open up a window for manifestation. Because three is government, but four is a window. So God's government needs the agreement of man to open up heaven to come to earth, because he's given us the final say. And while we're saying we want to do things our own way, then we're not seeing heaven manifested on the earth. But when we start to say, "I am now in agreement with the likeness of who you made me to be, and my heart is connected to your heart, and I'm have the heart of the Father, and I know your heart from eternity, and I'm now in the place in heaven where I can begin to legislate and govern, then now I can be a gateway into the earth," then heaven is going to be manifested on earth again until the glory of God will fill the earth and the kingdom of God will fill the earth, which is the end of the story when we then move into the ages to come in when we'll start filling a lot of other things. So the ark of God's presence governmentally manifests as four faces. He's lion, ox, eagle, man. So they represent the kingly, the oracle, the prophetic, the legislator, or the apostolic, or the priestly. And they represent it in the name of God. So when you stand in that place, you stand in the name of God. So you have access to the name of God, being in his name. And therefore, we are to represent all four faces as sons in his name. And in the name that we have in his name. Because we've all named within him. And he carries all our names within him. And he has the vast sum of his thoughts about every one of our names within him. And when we look into his face, we see reflected back our name in him, which is why we've got to look at him. And that's why religion will stop us looking to God face to face, because if you look at God face to face, you will die. This is what it says. Well, then it says Moses looked at God face to face. So you don't die. But if you look face to face in your own sense, then you're never going to be able to see what's reflected back. So we've got to come through Jesus, who's made the way for us to engage. So Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's our only access point. We cannot come in any of our own self-righteousness or works. We can only come by the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that was made willingly, taking our place, dying our death. He chose to die our death so we do not need to die. So it's by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. He is the door by which we enter. And the flesh is torn, therefore the veil is torn. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So there's no fear. He is our high priest. He is preparing us to be able to come. He's made us righteous. He's clothed us with robes of righteousness. He's given us a ring of sonship. We can draw near and come to that place of engaging the four faces of God in intimacy and stepping into his name in that place. Because it's about there is where the government of God is at work. So the high priest in the earthly tabernacle would sing or chant the names of God, the Yod, He, Vav, He, and all the names of the priests of carrying the name of God. And an earthly tabernacle would open a window into heaven. And God would manifest his presence in the portal between the wings of the cherubim as the high priest engaged with the name of God. So God's presence, or his Shekinah glory, would appear between the ark of the two wings. And God's presence is represented by the four faces of the lion, ox, eagle, and the man. Even it doesn't describe that, because the high priest never described what went on in there, because he was alone allowed to go in. But of course now, heaven's open, we're all called to go in. So we need to engage for ourselves to engage that. When I first started engaging around the Ark of the Presence of God, I wasn't looking for that manifest presence at all. I couldn't see it. I was just interested in finding out what the will of God was for me every day and going and getting the manna and going and getting my heart written on and going and doing stuff. So I never really stopped until God did something in my soul to deal with my soul so I could then see. And then when I saw, I could see the four faces of God. And I was always drawn to the eagle. To start with, you know, I avoided the man like the plague, yeah, because I associated it with stuff that I really didn't feel was me. You know? So the eagle, oh yeah, I love soaring, looking, seeing all this stuff, it's amazing. Wow, let's look at the bigger picture. And I'm like, soaring. It's like, wow, this all fits, see all this all fits together. And I'm like, yeah, see this blueprint from this perspective, awesome. But then I started getting drawn to the king, the lion, you know, and then the ox, and then finally I discovered what I should have been engaging first, which was the man, which was my priestly role. then I would have seen I could step into that priestly role and go into God and go back into eternity. So I spent a year or two going round the lion, ox and eagle, avoiding going back into eternity because I wouldn't accept in my role as a priest. Duh. But I did. And then eventually I engaged the face of thing. I realized this is me. This is my priestly function to go deeper into God. And I stepped into it, and I'm stepping into the name of God. So we can all draw near to this place, the Holy of Holies, the heavenly tabernacle, to engage the ark, to see those arks form on the mercy seat with the blood there. And until we take our place as a royal priest, then we're not having anything to administrate into the earth. We've tried to do the apostolic prophetic stuff on the earth without being a royal priest in heaven. And therefore, we only have earthly manifestations of spiritual gifts and various things like that, rather than a heavenly manifestation of the fullness of our sonship. So we form an ark in heaven. When we come into that place, we are the king and priest. So we form an agreement in heaven to receive the revelation of the Father's heart, and that opens a window for heaven to come into the earth. So when it then comes into the earth, we form another ark on the earth of agreement between the apostle, prophet, or the oracle and legislator. And I use oracle and legislator because apostle and prophet has connotations of fivefold ministry gifts, and people might misunderstand what it means. It isn't fivefold ministry gifts. It's because we've agreed as a priest and a king in heaven to receive the revelation of the Father's heart and then to administrate it, we then carry that eternal word and we become a living expression of that word on the earth. And then that word is legislated and outworked, which is very different from what we would think of necessarily as apostle and prophet. Because a prophet says stuff, we have to be stuff. It's not about speaking it out. It's about being a living demonstration of that living word that we carry. Ephesians 2:19, the household of God having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is why as a foundation, it's where is the foundation? In the dirt. It doesn't say that the apostles and prophets are the roof of the house, putting a covering over it. This has to be foundationally in the earth. So then there's an arc between heaven and earth where king and priest come into agreement with oracle and legislator. So you have this picture of in heaven, the bench of three, Father, Son and Spirit, the government of heaven, produce blueprints for each of us. We have a scroll, our destiny scroll. For each of us, we have a blueprint for our lives. For everything God wants to see manifested on the earth as an expression of heaven, there's a blueprint. So every ecclesia, every embassy of heaven, everything that God wants on the earth to reflect heaven has a blueprint. That blueprint is shone on by the light of God. So when you shine on something, what happens? You get a shadow. When we agree as the priest and king, then that blueprint has the shadow on the earth. If we don't agree, there is no light to shine on it. So what apostles and prophets have been doing is trying to get something out of heaven, which is a vision, and then they build that vision on the earth. But God actually has not produced that shadow. They're producing a vision in their own image. So when the shadow is formed, then you then have the reflection of God's government, which is the bench of three at the foundation. So then everything then can go up to occupy that shadow because the foundation releases the building to be established on the foundation of the government of that blueprint, which is the serving government to release people as living stones to be on earth as that blueprint is from heaven. So we need to then have the agreement on earth. So literally what we're looking to do is have an agreement, an ark in heaven, to agree the blueprint, and then we then have an ark between heaven and earth to see that blueprint manifested on earth, and then on earth we have an ark of agreement to lay the foundations for it. Then you start to see heaven manifested on earth. But most people didn't know how to do any of that. So we've just done our best. You know, a man's best is not good enough because it's not God's. So we've built mountains like this. So we built mountains which are hierarchical structures of mediatorial coverings. So we're not supposed to build a mountain on earth like that. The mountain of the house of the Lord on earth will be a full expression of God lifted up to be operating in heaven. We're supposed to be the other way. So if you're like that, how far can people get? Only as far as the top of that pinnacle, and there's already people there, so you can't get any further. So they won't let you get up there because they're keeping you in your position where they're in theirs. But if you do it the other way around, a foundation will release people up. And how far can that go? This way, it can go no further than the foundation. Whereas this way, the foundation releases it to go wider and wider and wider and expand because there's no end to the increase of his government and peace. So when I first started thinking about this, it was like I would come in my royal robes, come before the thing, and I was expecting the manifestation of God's presence. You know, because you think, well, God's going to manifest and he looks like God, like Jesus or whatever. Well, actually, what happened was the manifestation of the four faces of God. So I that was a surprise. You know, I wasn't expecting that. But when I experienced it, that's when I got drawn into engaging it and it started to unveil the truth of what that really was. So we engage God's presence in that tabernacle. We start to engage his name, the Yod, He, Vav, He. And it's like we found that we started singing that name a lot when we worshipped. And we would get to a point where we've entered into something and we would sing his name. Because his name was manifesting the revelation of his government to change things here. So we could come into agreement with him there so that then that would change things here. And so we started to engage with the seven spirits of God and the four living creatures and the four angels of transformation, what we engaged with yesterday. So all this stuff was a physical manifestation here and having the flags, and those flags just represent spiritually what we were looking to engage with. But what we really want to do is have heaven and earth in complete overlap. So it's like we're here, but we're there, and we're living there here and we're living here there. So it's like we're just walking in two realms all the time, living in that perspective. And once we do that, we'll find heaven and earth will become more and more into agreement and change will begin to take place. So literally, we need to engage the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of God's presence, and as a priest, engage in, and as a king, administrate out to come into this Ark of Agreement. And then as the ox, we're then carrying what we've received in the intimacy of God's word that we carry, and then we're legislating it out. So there's this same thing, this rhythm of life, this breath. I breathe in, I breathe out, I breathe in, I breathe out. I breathe in heaven, I breathe out in heaven, I breathe in on earth, I breathe out on earth. And all that is sort of the manifestation that God wants us to come in. So then we then started to engage with the sound of many waters and these four angels that started to help us to connect with the process of being transformed into that image. Because we discovered we needed quite a lot of the fire of refining to purify some of the things that stopped us looking like who God created us to be. Because our image was distorted by what we thought about ourselves, what we felt about ourselves, rather than connecting to what he feels about us and what he says about us, we had a distorted image, which meant we couldn't fully reflect God. So God sent these four angels, and he sent these four angels to the whole Joshua generation to help with the transition from an earthly to a heavenly perspective, from an old to a new perspective, from the perspective of me engaging God here to me engaging God there. So this is a sort of a physical manifestation of something which is an ongoing spiritual thing that we're looking to come into agreement with. And the name of God is intrinsically part of that. And we can engage in his name. So the four faces, you know, the manifestation around the ark, we engage with the Yod, He, Vav, and then we learn to step into it. You know, for a long time, we were engaging with each face, and we would just say to people, let's go and engage around the presence of the ark, and let's see who we're drawn to. And people would be drawn to the one or the other. And then I think people started, like I did, to discover more. But then I'd learn, well, actually, I can step into this name. I don't have to stand observing. I can step in. And when you step into something, you can then look out from within. And everything takes on a different perspective because you're not looking at it from an earthly perspective anymore. So I can stand in and see through the eyes of the lion. So I'm seeing all the government that needs to be in place. And literally I can speak with the authority of the lion's voice, which is a roar, because it carries with it a frequency that changes things. And I can look from the eyes of the ox, and I can see things from the perspective of God's word, his eternal word, and I can look and say, this doesn't look like his eternal word. This needs to be changed and transformed and aligned with his eternal word. So when I first looked at heaven, from heaven to the earth, I saw the realm that I live in here, and I saw it from God's perspective, and it was the most amazing, beautiful thing. Multicolored, just vibrantly 8K vision, 3D picture. And then God showed me what I normally see it like. Oh, I was so disappointed. Because it was gray and dull and lifeless. And he's saying, well, this is what life looks like to you from here on earth. But look what it looks like when you see through my eyes. This is my view of what life is and what I intend it to be. This is what you want to see on earth. You know, rather than, well, we just get by and, you know, it's hard, isn't it? And isn't life difficult? You know, but life isn't difficult when you see it from there. Then you've got to, of course, work it out, which can be difficult because we've got to go through the process of change to align ourselves with what God sees there so we can be that here. So we can step in and look out. And then we're this Yod-Heh, Shin-Vav-Heh. Now, Shin, the word Greek, or the Hebrew word letter Shin, is sort of three little things which represent us, body, soul, and spirit. So we are in the name of God. You know, carrying the power of his attorney and the full sense of his authority and power as a son made in his image. So the four faces of God were aligned to the compass there, north, south, east, west. So when we aligned them here, this is east. I'm sitting east. So the lion's here. Yeah, but actually that's in heaven, that's east. Yeah, but when you see it on a map, obviously north is up. Yeah, so we had to look at it from that perspective and line it like this way. So we've aligned these flags to represent here in this room that we want this room to be a reflection of heavenly, the place of the Ark of the Presence of God in heaven. So when we're stepping here, we're not just here in this room. We're stepping in. So you've noticed on the flag on the floor, I've put another flag covering the four seven spirits of God. That flag has all the four faces of the lion, ox, eagle, man. So not only can you connect with each of their faces and begin to interact, you can stand and step into it. Now, unfortunately, it's just a small little flag. So if you're going to do it later, sort of, you'll have to give each other a room to step into the middle and engage standing in the four faces. And then when you're in there, because you're stepping into heaven and being in it, you then can start to see. So just open your eyes and look, what are you looking out through? Which eyes are you looking through? And, you know, if you've not done it before, then you'll probably be drawn to one face more than the others. You know, that's okay, but don't just stick there. So in a visionary experience of this, when I first started to see this and see heaven like this and see earth, and how do we align it? I saw this. I saw the four living creatures here, you know, north, south, east, west, and aligned in the room. And each of them had a trumpet when I first saw it and a standard. So they carried a trumpet and they had a standard. And they were here to herald a new level of sonship. And they're still here to herald a new level of sonship because we're still maturing into it. And in the center was our church angel called Urandiel. And he's a big angel that carries the face of the eagle and the lion and is really large. But sometimes you can see him in the whole thing. Normally, if I see him as he is, I just see his feet because he's right up through the ceiling, gone, huge. But he was standing in the middle carrying the standard of the four faces. And there was fire coming off him. And there was this just passion I felt of him being here saying, come into this place of agreement and alignment. And then I started to actually see the four creatures started to move around. And they started to create a vortex of color and sound and energy, and heaven opened. This was a while ago, but it's still here, you know, and we can re-engage it anytime we want. And sometimes we forget about it. You know, we come and we worship God and we focus on God, but we sometimes forget that this is all here. And we can engage this anytime we want to, because God has given this place for us to be able to engage with the four living creatures, with stepping into the ark of the presence of God and being in his name, because here is an overlap of heaven. Heaven and earth are here overlapped under an open heaven. And I felt that this whole thing was like a new dimension, you know, and all the angels that were assigned were the seven spirits of God. And I saw the cloud of witnesses and they were all looking, and there was a whole load of children who were also looking from that realm, wanting to engage. And there were mantles and coats of different color. I mean, it was a, you know, powerful encounter, and we can still have it because God's here to do it. And I saw it all in the spiritual realm, but then I saw it as us outworking it with the prophetic act of being able to engage with the flags. So we did this one day, you know, and it was, we set all the flags out. We had the chairs were all back, so we had a lot more room. Set all the flags out, looked to engage. And we had visitors that day. And they came, and they were, I don't know whether they came from a brethren background, but they came with their Bibles under their arm, and they sat right over there. And I was teaching this, and it was like they were like deers in the headlights, weren't they? It was funny, but in one sense, it showed that from a new and old perspective, this stuff can be really weird for those who really have never seen it. And so, you know, we don't flaunt that a lot because we've got to respect people where they are and help them to come into it. So we can just, hey, we're just going to be free and radical and just do this stuff all the time. But sometimes people just can't engage. So although it's here, we don't set the flags out like this every Sunday. But it's still here in the spirit. And we need to continually be reminded that it's here and we can engage. But there are other ways that people can engage who aren't used to this level. So we do this sometimes, and we do prophetic things with flags and banners. And you know, the last one we did was a golden river, and we had all the colors of the river out. And it was an awesome encounter because it was like stepping into a spiritual realm here by stepping onto a flag. So I believe we can do that today. So Winds of Change was assigned to administrate this process that I saw, and to bring a whole new dimension of relationship and identity for the new season that we're coming into and everything else. So literally, we have the flags set out like this, but our flags, that's north, south, east, west, but here they're set out like that, in according to the room, that we can engage in. And the faces themselves form arcs of agreement with each other. Because everything that's agreement of two opens up a window to experience something. They agree and it manifests something. So when we look to do this, I mean, I spent probably about 6 weeks every Sunday going and standing in a different place where I could see. We didn't have flags out, but I could see where the Winds of Change were standing here and the lion was here. So I'd go and stand in the ark between them. And I found myself going through a portal and engaging something in heaven, as well as experiencing something on earth. It was like it opened up a realm that I stepped into. Because a portal opens. And then I went around each of them, connecting up with the different arcs. And I discovered they took me places and opened up things and gave me revelation. And eventually I sort of shared that. So, well, let's all have a go, see what happens when we step into it. So engaging with those portals is important. But also you're agreeing with heaven and earth. So you have the four angels that are assigned here to engage in this spiritual realm with us. But also the four living creatures were a representation of what's in the throne room of heaven. So this is agreeing with heaven and earth and opening up heaven here on earth. So we have the Winds of Change and transformation, sound of many waters and refiner's fire. And so that means that there's arcs between each of them. So if you stand in the middle where there the man face is, actually you're in an arc between Winds of Change and transformation. What will that do? Open up a portal for you to engage in a deeper level of what that is, a new season of transformation in your life, perhaps. So each of them can have different connotations. So that Winds of Change, bringing new seasons, bringing new things, engaging with the sound of many waters. So the voice of God is going to create a vibrational frequency, which is going to bring change and bring me into a new season, because I'm going to come into agreement with God's voice. Same with refiner's fire and transformation. Here's all the areas that transformation is going to reveal that you need refiner's fire for. So come into agreement with them and experience the portal which opens up the fire of God to take you perhaps to the altar in heaven, whatever. There's lots of things. And then they all interact that way as well. So you can interact with winds of change and refiner's fire. Now, you're not likely to be able to engage in all this today. It's just, but you can take this picture away with you. We're going to give the PDFs away. And you can create this in your own quiet place, your own secret place with God, you know, your own living room. And you can picture this and you can engage it and continue engaging it so that a portal will open when you stand in your living room between those two faces. And because you're doing it by faith to engage the ark. Because this is not just for us here. This is a representation of what God wants to do everywhere. Because if we're forerunners, it's to open up something for everyone. And we may do it in a weird way with flags and banners and stuff, but you can do it spiritually, even if you don't have the flags and the banners. But you can just actually, again, picture and see, I'm inviting the four angels of transformation to come. I'm inviting the four living creatures to bring heaven and earth into agreement, and I'm going to step into it every day if you want. Until you've gone into all the different portals between all the different arcs, and you'll find it transports you to places that you never knew, but are the places which you need to engage in to be able to experience that. So here we have manifestation of the four faces of God. We have the four faces of God in representing of the ark in the middle. We have there the four angels that are there to help us, and we can engage with all them. Yeah. And Jesus said this, you know, truly I say to you in John 1:51, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So he was saying, look, it's okay. Engaging this stuff is all right. If you really look at me and see, you'll see that there's a whole lot of spirit activity around my life. Therefore, if you're going to be like me, you need a whole lot of spiritual activity around your life. And you can create that by flowing rivers of living water and creating an atmosphere. But that atmosphere welcomes the angelic realm. When they have an atmosphere of heaven and they sense it around you, the living creatures, the men in white linen, they start to be attracted by an atmosphere of heaven on the earth. And if you have a gateway of heaven, let the flow of living water create even a small atmosphere around your life. It may just be the bubble you live in. It will attract heaven. And heaven will begin to manifest around you on the earth. And Jesus described his relationship with the Father in John 3:13. No one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who is, dwells, has his home in heaven. So we can live in both of these realms, and we can learn to be in the four faces of God and be a gateway for that to manifest here all the time. Not just stepping into heaven and stepping back out, stepping in and stepping out, but living in and living out. So I want to live in the manifest presence and live out the manifest presence, which is actually one of our visionary statements. That's what we want to teach people to do, to live in the manifest presence of God and to live out the manifest presence of God, not by stepping in and stepping out, but living in and living it out. That's where God wants us to get with all this stuff. So at that time, it was like prophesying a new season and calling it forth, heralding it with this is coming for us. And there's new books, new pages, new chapters for all of us. You know, we have a scroll. You know, I think of my scroll more like a book, because then I can flip the pages rather than trying to open it. You know, but the reality is it's there and we can engage it and we can discover a whole different level of authority and government in it. Because God wants us to engage and experience these things. So I want to encourage you to just have a go at this. I could do another 50 slides and explain all my experiences of what I did when I stepped into those things, but you need to do it for yourself. Because if you're trying to copy my experiences or using those experiences so you can have them, you won't find out what these things are for you. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm encouraging you to engage with those four angels. Transformation, winds of change, sand of many waters, refiner's fire. Engage in the arcs between them. between the lion and there, just stand in the middle and just see what opens up. See what you sense, see what you experience. And, you know, we can engage all these things because God is sending these things because they're ministering spirits on our behalf. They minister with us. They minister to us. They minister through us. They're there to help. So what change do you want in your life? What new season do you want? You know, well, if you want to change, look at transformation. Go and ask transformation, is there something you need to come into agreement with the will of God? If you don't know the will of God, go and engage the sound of many waters and engage the voice of his presence. And all these things will sort of start to connect up with you. So we can be transformed, obviously, into the image of Jesus. Our behavior can be changed. Our thinking can be changed. We can be transfigured to shine with glory. Transformation, we need to open our heart and respond to the revelation that we receive from transformation. Winds of change, a new season of sonship, new season of blessing, joy, peace, authority and power as a son to change and transform your circumstances around your life by ruling, overcoming, subduing. So the winds of change is open your heart and breathe that life that comes as the wind blows. Refiner's fire, refining fire, the seraphim, greater passion. Greater passion for God, your life, and destiny. You notice sometimes when we start to get to a point of things start to start crackling because there's an atmosphere starts to form and physical electrical equipment picks up the charge. And I can feel the charge right now sitting here, which is why this is like, you know, stop. Stop doing it. But the charge is building and it starts to build. So refiner's fire, greater passion for God, for your life, for your destiny, pure heart to see God. Your life can be purified and refined as you engage. Change restricting you can be burnt away, consumed, so that you're free. So the refiner's fire, open your heart for that passion, purification, destroying of change. Just be open for whatever it is that happens as you engage it. Sound of many waters, vibrational frequency of the voice of God. Everything that is not of God's kingdom can be shaken from you when you start to vibrate. Because you resonate with a different frequency than the frequency that you're carrying. And you're, let's say, God's frequency is higher and you're carrying a lower frequency. When you come into the engagement with the higher frequency, it will raise your frequency. It will bring you back into alignment with his call, with his voice. Resonate with the truth of your identity as a son. So if you don't really know your sonship and you're carrying this sort of low, sort of, I'm not really much of a son, then let that frequency raise up your expectations and let him speak his word of affirmation, calling you into sonship. So our whole body can be aligned with that frequency. Health, wholeness in our DNA can be transformed. The sound of many waters, just open your heart with that frequency, God's voice. And let's see an explosion as those angels blow their trumpets, release their banners, release this charge of God's presence into, you know, our midst. So I'm going to just click onto the slide, which is at the end, if I can find it. And we're gonna go from there. Okay, so here's a representation of, and I'm gonna make this full screen so I can engage in it without people looking at me. If they were, fortunately last night, I mean, I engaged in the Firestones last night in my seventh engagement with the Firestones, and I was doing all sorts of weird stuff, you know. So it was like, I'm just glad I switched it to not showing me and what I was doing. All sorts of stuff was going on. Yeah. So let's be willing to engage. All these arcs, all these portals, they're all there. Just go where you feel led to go again, you know. And again, I would encourage you just to take a moment of reflection. And as you reflect on it, then just go where you feel led to go.